What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Build-Up. And I don't know if you could tell just straight from the get-go, but morale is low, vibes are low, everything is low. Sorry if my setup looks a little bit janky. I'm in the process of moving, and my setup looks just about like Ten Hag's setup today. United lose 3-0 in the biggest game of the season versus Liverpool at OT. It was bad from the start, or we played good for maybe about 2 minutes, and then after that, it was just piss poor. No structure, haphazard all over the place. Casemiro playing like, I can't even describe what he was playing like. Just an absolutely abysmal performance in what could be the worst day of Ten Hag's tenure so far, even worse than the 7-0. We're just going to talk today. There's not really too much to analyze per se. You know how we like to do it here, dive deep into structures and talk about why things went wrong, not what went wrong. But today is just going to be a therapy session because I think we all need it. And I'm sure everyone that's listening to this needs it as well. So I'm here with the usual suspects, Abu and Hassan. I would ask how you guys are doing, but I'm gonna let Abu go first because he in pre-production he prefaced that he needed to get some stuff off his chest, as I'm sure all of us do. So
there's a reason why I'm wearing a Bayern Munich t-shirt. It's a club which actually won today. It's a club which actually has a structure. It's a club which actually has an idea of how it wants to go forward. And it's a club which doesn't employ, well, it has a good, bold manager. How bold is Ten Hag? There's a dent in his head. That's how bold he is. I don't understand this human being. There's a meme on Asian Twitter. It says, if you want to meet in the middle, morise. It means you'll die. Morise means dead. This is what happened to us. We tried to play through the middle, morise, we died. We tried to play over the top, morise. We tried to play out wide, morise, we died. We got killed by Liverpool in every single way. Slot has been there for three games. Three games. There's already a decent out-of-position structure, which we don't have after 3 years. Don't talk to me about the players. He's got his players now. There's literally no excuses for this man. None. Not a single one. Our possession, we get smoked. What man goes off and we get absolutely ripped to pieces. Like a knife through butter down the middle. And I'll be honest, boys, I think we've been overly optimistic the last two games. Against Fulham, we could have easily lost. Brighton deserved to beat us. We had an okay 45 minutes. And today is just a culmination. I don't understand what he wants. I don't understand his plan. His plan obviously doesn't work long term. Casemiro, the football has left you. The football is gone. It's not even in Saudi. It's in retirement. It's not even into Miami. It's not in New York. It's nowhere. Just leave the game. You're done. And Ugarte coming in is not going to help. It's going to help a little bit, but he still has a massive amount of ground to cover. Why is Casemiro picking the ball up off our center halves? Did he do that at Madrid? No. Did he do it in Brazil? No, because it's not his strength. What does a good manager do? Hide your players' weaknesses and enhance their strengths. We're just enhancing our players' weaknesses. And these long balls... Well, CK mentioned it 10 times last season, how this guy punts it 10 yards, or like 50 yards all the time, and it never works out. What does he do? Twice, and it cost us twice in this game. Slot, he aimed to press us as soon as the ball got into midfield, and it worked every time. Gravenberch is just... I don't think Gravenberch's that good. We're just having a tall physical midfielder. It showed a world of difference today. Like, we got bullied in midfield. We got bullied. There's no, like, he wants to build out from the back, but it's a slow build-up. He does long balls over the top randomly, but then he wants to play a high line, but our defense always drops deep. None of it makes sense. It's been 5 years, like, I've seen the same tactic in big games. Bruno, long ball to Rashford, and inshallah, I hope it works. That's been our tactic for the last 5 years. This guy has spent 600 million. There's no plan. There's no structure. There's no identity. There's nothing. It's been 3 years and his post-game, he talks about these trophies all the time. Why is he talking about these trophies were last season? I don't care. What have you done? Ollie was right when he says trophies can mask bad performances. We finished eighth last season. on negative goal difference, and our fans did a petition to keep this guy in the job. Eighth on negative goal. Are you man hearing me? We already owe the league goals. We're already minus three. We're already in debt. It's three games in. All I'm saying is, Ineos, yeah, I'm happy with how you've done things, isn't it? But behind the scenes and everything, but you bottled sacking Ten Hag. You bottled it at the beginning of the season. I can't. You bottled it. McKenna was there. Tuchel was there. Them two just better. De Zerbi, I'm a little bit iffy about, but he was there. These guys all have a clear plan, clear cohesion, clear structure in how they play football. Ten Hag has, since 3 years, has nothing of that. I ain't seen nothing. We've seen incremental improvements. And obviously, straight for trends, we try and look at things analytically. And we've seen this little improvements here and there. But when push comes to shove, we're just a bunch of pushovers. And that all comes to the manager and his love of verticality. As all the players, they should get the ball and just punt it forward. Just punt it forward. I don't understand it, bro. It's like it's a fourth down. We've got to punt it forward. What do you mean? Go down. Go for the shot. Oh, I'm done. I want this guy out tonight. Black SUVs outside his house. Get him out of his house. I'm done.
I think you got the team like really wrong, because last season Garnacho would start and be like, okay, it's good for him to start. I still think he did pretty okay, but the dynamic we've used with Ahmad sort of like hold more of the ball in attack. We've gone through the majority of pre-season and there's the start of the season with Ahmad starting on the right, and to switch that to Garnacho and go direct a lot. I think, to be honest, I wanted to see a lot more long balls in the build-up. We were just passing around the back too much, and when you have Casemiro in, you can carry the ball forward. I just don't think it works. I think, you see, like, I don't know if you saw that post from the text, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but on like Arsenal and City using the same structure as us, and it's like,
yeah,
you're obviously trying to see like Ten Hag's trying to make us a, you know, they probably took pieces of that from Ten Hag, what he's trying to do, and you can't do that with Casemiro as your, you know, deep line playmaker, and against Liverpool as well, it's just too risky. I think the build-up is way too risky, because even, okay, forget Casemiro, I know it's hard to forget, but go for the third goal with Mainoo when he loses the ball, Collier's all up in attack and Mainoo loses it and gets straight out. It's like, even, you know, you can't rely on your players to get out of pressure 10 times out of 10. And I feel like when we lose the ball in deep a lot, like in the middle of the pitch, we're just not ready for it to come back at us. I feel like when we are attacking and we've held the ball in their half, we're a bit better at like trying to sustain pressure. But when we lose it in the middle of the pitch, it just comes straight at us. Like, was it the first or second goal that Mazraoui and Dalot, they both went up and then they just came straight at us, and De Ligt and Martinez, I don't know what they were doing. They both dropped back into the same space. And
second goal, that was it.
Obviously, whatever happened after that. But yeah, I think 20, 30 minutes were good, and then Liverpool they picked out that we're not using a pivot when building out. We're just using like one player and no one's really arriving into the space to help out. And it's just too risky. And I think Ten Hag will go back to a pivot now and sort of add more security. But how often can you get these performances and like these days where you just have enough with the team and enough with the coach, but then, you know, we get some security and then it happens again like a few months later. And just, it's concerning for me, because it was the first day as well where I thought Martinez was, we couldn't like hang a question mark over him. I don't like speaking on players, but you saw how he struggled a lot in the wide channels, and even was sort of like when Liverpool pumped it long, he doesn't usually deal for it with his head and then can't control possession, because he'd sort of kick it out for a throw-in or kick it back. I feel like he was off the pace a lot as well. I've got a lot of concerns, especially after that. I just think we're way off it, like, tactically and even physically.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think you can look at it. There's like two stories to today, I think, tactically and then personnel-wise. With the team, at first, when the team first came out, I wasn't surprised nor super upset with, I mean, the change was the front three, right? Dropping Ahmad for Garnacho. And in a game like this, I thought it made sense. I thought it would have made sense for either one to start. Ahmad is obviously a great player. We know it. He's going to give you technically decision-making, all that stuff. But Garnacho, in the sort of game state that I predicted this game to be, I could also see making sense, especially with Xerxes starting up front and him dropping in and creating space for those inside forwards, Rashford and Garnacho, to get inside. The problem was Xerxes was bad. He was very bad. Like, he wasn't holding the ball from his first touch to his last one. He was just poor. Like, we could just call a spade a spade. Like, he was just bad. Like,
he's 6'4" for no reason. For no reason.
I don't think he's ready for the Premier League yet. I think he's going to take time to adapt. But he looked really off it.
So the whole thing was Xerxes and Bruno basically
linking
up in that space. Mm-hmm. Xerxes dropping in, Bruno advancing a little bit, Xerxes being able to hold the ball up and, you know, create that space for those other guys to run into. But it just, when he can't hold the ball up at all or not connect any sort of play at all, your whole game plan just falls apart right there. So I'm not like, obviously, if we knew Xerxes was going to play that bad, then we would have wanted Ahmad to start to give us some sort of something there. But there's so much to get into. I don't even know where to go next. Go ahead.
I think we should, like, a bit on Ahmad. Like, you know, at the end of the game where that stat came up, most touches in the opposition box, and Ahmad had like 5.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, it's obviously hearsay, but we used the dynamic of Ahmad starting and how to play with Ahmad, and obviously the right back, Mazraoui, and we could go straight to Garnacho, and then we start building out from the back and not launching balls for Garnacho and Rashford to run in behind. Because when we're building out, I think we're just doing way too much build-up. I think what I wanted to see is going longer, a lot more, especially using... How tall is Xerxes? 6'4".
Apparently,
yeah.
Apparently.
Obviously, Van Dijk is going to obviously get aggressive on him, but I wanted him to drop deep a lot, and I wanted Onana to go long a bit more, because after like 30 minutes, we saw that our build-up wasn't working. I thought in the second half it might change a bit, but we came out and just... It's like how...
There's literally no options.
Sam Allardyce, like, tippy-tappy football, is that what he says?
Unless Mainu escapes pressure 10 out of 10 times, unless Casemiro just does that one touch, just whack it in behind, we're always going to get caught underneath pressure. Even before the goal, there were 2 times where Martinez put Casemiro... I can't lie, he gave Casemiro hospital passes and Mainu hospital passes. And we were lucky to get away with it. He recovered. But then it was just a sign of things to come. Like, maybe you're right. Maybe we should have, you know, just played the ball over the top.
Yeah, but then, because even if we got to the final third, bro, Rashford on Garnacho, makes sense to do.
But it's like, even when we got to the final third, like, Bruno had a stinker. I said it straight. Bruno had a stinker. It was kind of like everyone is preconditioned to just play Rashford in and completely ignore Garnacho, because there's 3 occasions which Garnacho was free on the right hand side, but we tried to like reverse pass it randomly for no reason. When there's no space, like, it's like they're preconditioned to play to him when Garnacho was free on the right hand side. So maybe the plan was right, but the execution wasn't there. But then again, like, I do blame the coaching in some way, because, like, why are our players just so preconditioned to just look to the left and not play to the right when the guy's literally right in front of us? And I'm not
This is the game where we needed that guy in the paint.
One more paint crash, please.
No, I was just thinking, one more. Like, the middle of the pitch. Okay,
but it was like...
We have literally, when Mainu's not, obviously Mainu came deep a lot because obviously Casemiro couldn't build out. We have no ball carriers. Mainu can't carry the ball from his own box to the final third of the pitch. We need, I don't know, it's just, if we're going to play that risky build-up, we just need someone like elite level. And obviously for United, you want elite level players, but you can't. It's just too risky, especially with Liverpool and Anfield, how slot legs narrow in the pitch. It causes a lot of problems, because when they, even in the first half when Liverpool were building out, they, whenever they went wide, obviously our fullback and a winger, they just couldn't get close to him. Like they were so far away, and Liverpool could just play across the pitch, play a diagonal, play in Salah, and just in like that.
The problem as well too is just like asking, like Ten Hag is just asking his best individuals to just like figure it out, basically, like, and build up Licha and Manu, just like find a solution, because those two passes that we were referencing earlier, where Licha, he did poor, he was poor, right, and he's been a little bit off the pace to start the season, but when you look at the positions that he's in, like him picking the ball up and looking, like there is literally no option. There's no option for him to pass to. And when Manu picks up the ball, he's brilliant in tight spaces, right? Incredible to be able to get out of some of the situations that he does. But then he gets out of those situations and then there's nothing there, or he has to carry the ball 40 yards to get into a position where he can find space. And it's just like, there is no, I think with H, what he was talking about when he's talking about structured buildup and every player knows where to put their next pass. I think you can see that a lot where no one knows where the next pass is going to be. And so they're left with, especially when you're playing a team like Liverpool, who's going to close you down and so fast, you need to know where that next pass is going to be. And we just look so just void of ideas.
I think someone said it on Twitter that he's just trying to perfect that performance against City in the FA Cup final without knowing that that was just a one-off performance, mate. You don't try and use that going to a league campaign. Like, honest to God, it's like you said, Manu picks the ball up. He has, like, I remember like two times where he escaped magically underneath pressure, and then there was literally no one in front of him. So he has to, like, run bears, and, like, by the time the ball gets turned over, he has to run back. He's knackered. We've turned him into a ball winner, bruv.
Yeah. Are you taking we should have anticipated Liverpool, like, obviously, they're going to press us with like four or five people at once. And if they're pressing the midfield with four or five people and we've got five, six in attack, then obviously it's common sense what's going to happen. Like, for the third goal that Manu got caught in possession, there's like four Liverpool players around him. And there was one or two options. But if you're not outnumbered that much, it's just common sense what's going to happen.
That was the whole game. They were swarming him the whole game because they know if you take out Manu, we have nothing.
And Casemiro as well. As soon as the ball got into Casemiro, they jumped at him straight away. As soon as he got into midfield, they jumped at him. They robbed him like he was in London at nighttime, bro. They literally like picked his pockets like he's on a New York subway. He was like, where's the ball gone? Where's the ball gone? He looked like a deer in headlights. Like, but this is what I don't understand though. Like, Casemiro at Madrid, Kroos and Modric handled the build-up. He was further up when the build-up out of play. But then when it settled, he was at the base. Why is he picking the ball off the centre halves? Why is he trying? Did you see he gave up mid dribble? Did you see that on the touchline?
The ball didn't even go out of bounds, and he was just like, oh, "You got
his controller down." He's like, "Yeah, I can't do this." Like,
the thing was that wasn't even in his top five mistakes of the half. Not even close. It's like he had like six other things that happened that were way worse than that, and that was like, the worst thing I've ever seen.
The second goal, right, which he just played right to them. He could have taken a touch. He could have just like hit it in the air. So if it goes a bit far out, it goes up for a throwing, no threat. He tries to play an Ivan. There's actually not even Ivan.
The first one, right?
Was that the first one or second one?
Where you hit it the first time pass that went.
We hit the first time on the ground.
That was the first one. That was
the first goal, yeah. Like hit it there. And next, De Ligt and Martinez are running back saying, what the hell? But what's going on? The ball's coming back to us. Like De Ligt, I'll give him this. He did well with what he could. He handled his one on one duels very well. Physical guy. De Ligt played well. Mazraoui played all right, I think. It's just a matter of, like, our players are just, like, they're giving, like, bombs and be like, you know where, go off and just throw this at opposition, bro. Like, it's kind of like they set on suicide missions. They set on suicide missions every time they leave the flipping the dressing room. And there's no hope as long as this guy's in charge, because the players are confused. I'm confused. Like, no one knows what we want to do. Like, it's just like, or maybe you do know, or maybe everyone knows what you want to do, but we need apparently all of 2021 Ajax, apparently, to play this sort of style.
We need the World 11, bro.
World 11, legendary 11 on FIFA. You know about it, classic 11 on FIFA. Like, we need the best players in history to play this, apparently, this style.
Yeah, it's like, and we're not going to get Arsenal and City level technical players in 2-3 windows. It's just not possible.
I think the plan
to a more safe build up now. I think he'll go back to a pivot and about time. I feel like we pick up results now.
With Ugarte and Manu, or?
Yeah. I don't know in the interviews, it sounds like he doesn't even want Ugarte.
He's like, well, Ugarte probably is going to take like 4 months to get fit. I don't know, apparently.
Like, weeks, months.
What, like, because Casemiro can't start another game for a while.
Collier could, like, his position.
Collier and Manu, like, that just doesn't work, though. Because Collier's still, like, you can see he's still a little loose with the ball. So I love what he came in and did. Like, I would definitely have him start over.
Bro, Casemiro, it's like throwing meat to the wolves if you let Collier and Manu just start, bro. If you just, like, you know what, just why not? And the fact that we spent so much money, yet everyone and their moms knew we need a CDM. And they bought Ugarte at the end. But he said, like, this is no fault of his own. He's had no preseason. He's had no preseason or nothing, no training. He hasn't really trained with the PSG team, so obviously he's going to be unfit. But like, why do you spend so long getting for this guy when Onana was right there for 50 million? 50 million bang could get done and dusted at the start of the.
I feel like even if we had Amadou Onana in this game, like hypothetically we had him,
make a difference.
We'd still struggle because Liverpool pressing us like 4 or 5 players in the field, and all our.
I understand that, but like when you look at, I think the big reason why they shafted us in midfield is because A, the pressing traps were unreal, I can't lie, and B, they just physically just, like, look at McAllister, bro, like, the guy's this, and he pushed Bailey off the ball. Gravenberch literally just battered us all day midfield, but obviously need, you know, a big lumpy lad in midfield. We do it sounds basic, but we kind of do. We have no height, no presence in there. So, like you're saying, like, I don't think it would have changed the end result, but I think with this impossible suicide defending of, like, 20 zones that he wants of a flipping midfielder, like, Amadou Onana would have been the best person to pick for it, and getting Ugarte at the end of the window, and he needs like a preseason because he hasn't really had one. So he may play in like a month or two time, or like 6, 4, 5 weeks to come back. It's just like, bro, like, we wasted 2 months at the start of the season then. It's a bit like, what are you doing?
Luckily, we're
in build up, we just need to change that structure. I don't think it's going any longer because they're really struggling, especially with Casemiro there. 3-1-6, it's not working. I mean, they're not arriving.
3-1-6 with Casemiro as the one is just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, and I don't want to, like, obviously we all know what Casemiro did today. Like, I don't want to just continue to harp and just crucify the guy. But like, we have been saying this since the beginning of last season about Casemiro, how he looks off, how he's quote unquote washed, how he's just not it. Like, he can't be the starting deepest midfielder for this team any longer. And we were saying that at the beginning of last season. I just don't know how, if we can see it, the manager can't. Like, I just don't. Anything is better than this. Like, he has, of course, quality in moments, but at any point he can sabotage a game at literally any time. And we saw it. This was like encapsulated what's been in the back of all of our heads, is just like, at any moment he can just set a bomb off and blow up an entire game. And it was just, I'm still in shock of what I saw today. I shouldn't be shocked, I guess, but like, just some of the decisions that he was making, even aside from the two mistakes that led to goal. There was this play in the first little bit where he played this outside of the foot pass for literally no reason. I just popped up and went back to it. And it's just time after time after time after time. And I guess this is the straw that broke the camel's back. But I mean, would you be surprised if you saw him start the next game? Because I genuinely wouldn't be.
No. Like, because we have no other backup option. Let's be honest. Like, we can play Collier and Manu. He's not going to do it. Let's be honest. Even though he took him off, he's not going to do it. I don't think he has the balls to do it. Ugarte, all the leaks have come out, and it's pretty obvious what he said after the game. He doesn't want him. This is a player which probably he does not want. He doesn't want him. So, and he says Ugarte may take months, apparently. So, for after the international break, what's going to happen. Like, he's not going to play him straight away. He may ease him in like he did with the league, but I think Casemiro is going to start. I don't think he has any other option. And can't blame him for that, because Ineos should have identified and bought two CDMs, not just one. They should have bought two CDMs to make sure we shouldn't have to rely on a 31-year-old or 56-year-old Casemiro. I don't know. Check his papers. The guy's fake age. Honest to God. Like, yeah, it's just, he's gonna play him. And we're going to have to suck it up because we have absolutely no choice. We've got to. Unless he plays Collier. Unless he has the balls to play Collier.
The thing is, we play Southampton next and their coach does a similar thing. Like, if Russell Martin, he's sort of... they're not doing really well in the league now. He sort of wants his teams to like build up like similar to as we do. So it could be like the battle of the...
The 3-1-6s. Like that Chelsea and, game last season was just chaos.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Southampton come on top.
The thing is, you know what was actually really sad is that before this game started, if you would have said we lost 3-0, got spanked, Casemiro gave up two goals, it looked terrible, haphazard, no structure, everyone would have been like, yeah, I could probably see that happening. It's sad. Like, this is what we're now like. That's not a out of the question to lose 3-0 at Old Trafford to Liverpool in the most embarrassing fashion possible.
Could have been 5 or 6.
Could have been more. You see what Salah said after the game? He said, "I was surprised how easy it was, how open it was. It could have been 5 or 6."
And this is the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, we can, you know, the first time the 7-0 happened to us. And the first time, I think, was it City that beat us? Was it
6-3.
I don't remember that scoreline. Yeah. But yeah, it's like these games, they happen and then we sort of go back to a more like secure approach and then a few months later or whatever, like we get some signings in next season. It just happens again. Like, how many times are you going to forgive a performance like this? Like, you can't just, okay, for like the next few months or weeks now, like, if we've got decent fixtures, we might just put in a good performance. But when it goes back, push comes to shove, when we're trying to like challenge the top teams, this sort of stuff happens again. When we're trying to like play 3-1-6 or trying to play a proper style of football, it's just like, can we take that next step? Is it the personnel? Or is it like tactics aren't quite right? Is it, I don't know. It's just...
Bro, like, I'd be sorry. When Villa got rid of Gerrard and put Emery in, it took them one game to completely change. I remember watching their first game thinking this is a completely different team. Brighton, new gaffer, looked completely different. Arne Slot introduced a more controlled, composed style of play with Liverpool. Honestly, like they controlled the game. They controlled the game. Like the XG may be even, but that's because after 3-0, it should have been 4 because Shabba's like flipping, turning to flipping. I don't know. What
he was taking the pace. He was taking the pace.
He did a track back on FIFA, bro.
He was taking the mick when he didn't shoot. It was like,
oh, he's taking the pick, bro. He's trying to, you know, when
you're beating your mate on FIFA like 4-5-0, and then
you just he's trying to do flipping no looks, bro. Like he's a Samoa in the cage. I'm like, he was taking the mick. Like he just didn't want. He was like, you know what? Let me violate these men.
We got Oled at Old Trafford in the.
That was crazy. 57th minute, bro, and that was actually like they actually did like usually like it's a couple passes and then like we get it. They created a chance out of that.
And you usually get Oled at the end of the game or like away from home, but it was like
57th minute.
At the start of the second half, you get Oled. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
People need to understand it. People are always like, oh, you can't chop and change managers. You need to instill a culture. No, you can chop and change the managers. I feel like this club sets of our fans are in love with this dream style of having a long term manager. You know, like Fergie. Fergie was once in forever, bro. Fergie's never going to happen again in modern football. Never again. Because Pep's going to leave in the next year. He's like, it's never, ever going to happen again. We change managers. Like, modern clubs change managers all the time. It's a fact of life. This guy is not worth... Like, if you were to rank Premier League managers, where would Ten Hag be? Genuinely, where would Ten Hag be on your list? Where would he be on your list? He's not top 10. He's literally bottom half. He's bottom half, bro. And he's been back to the nines this season.
In terms of the league... Like the actual league.
But like,
the Premier League, if you think about it, where you rank Ten Hag as a manager?
You gave Ten Hag the team that... Like, if you look at City and Arsenal, they're using similar structures as Ten Hag's using. So if you gave him that team, would he do like well with that team?
Bro, I think there's like, no, because I mean, there's like this thing that's like following him around now, though. That's like, it's just bad vibes, you know? It's just like,
I feel like it's
kind of, it's like infectious. Like, it gets into the team. It's like almost, it's kind of similar to like what happened today with like Casemiro. Like, he makes a few mistakes, and then like everyone is just like making mistakes. Like, everyone, it's like just spreads. And now it's like, we go into these big games with Ten Hag, and it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like it's like this cloud over him that I don't know if he can escape. I don't know if the team can escape as long as he's here. It sucks because I want him to like do well. I want this to work, but like at some point, like,
listen, his quote about era's ending. I love that quote. Klopp has gone already. Pep's leaving this year. If we win something this year, I could say, look, Ten Hag was right. But honestly, God, I can't. My eyes can't watch this for another 10 months. Just for like one, two rondos to come out of a game and we look good, we build out our pressure. I'm thinking, oh, there's progress. Then there's 45 minutes of complete, dross in which we get battered and we should make up excuses saying he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. Adapt. You're the manager. This is your job. Adapt to the circumstances, bro.
Patience is a virtue, Robin.
Adapt.
Patience is a virtue.
Adapt. It's the classic 11, bro. Like, you need classic 11 to play football. Do you? You the whole of Ajax 2021 to come back. Is that what you want, bro? You bought all your players that you wanted. Like, we bought like the whole back line is Ajax, bro. And Onana, I swear to God.
Thank you for reminding me.
Why does he dive in slow motion?
It's his positioning, bro. His positioning for that for Salah's goal was so poor, bro. He's in the left half, or if you're looking at Onana, the left half of the goal. When Salah's clearly shaping up to go near post. He scored that goal 1,000 times.
This positioning has been a problem for, like, months. Like, it's been a problem for... And you, like, get concerned, like... Okay, he saves this much XG or whatever, but... When you look at some of the goals, you can see where he's standing.
It's so poor. I don't know why he would stand right there. He does so slow, too.
I feel like he gives himself, like, the extra, like, he wants... Whenever I saw someone ask this on this last season, but I can't remember who it was from, but whenever he dives, he goes the other way, and then he dives the other way. Like, it's just something he's like, the ball's gonna go right, little to the left just to make sure that side's covered, and then he'll shoot right and then he'll dive to the right. I think his technique's a bit,
I always said that I would take like my philosophy on keepers is that like I'll take a couple like. Mistake shot saving wise and like for the what you can give me going forward and with the ball, similar to like Ederson, but like because Ederson's known to make a lot of mistakes, like dumb mistakes like that, but like we're not even keeping the ball enough to like realize that potential, and then he's just not good at shot stopping, so it's just like kind of the worst of both worlds. Some of his distribution has been insane to start the season, but it's still been inconsistent as well. And then today that third goal is just absolutely shambolic.
Can we talk about,
do you feel like, I feel like, you know, when CK says it, it's like an infection, basically, like when the ideas from the manager aren't going right. Is that like something that sort of plays into the minds of the players when they're building out and you see them sloppy with the passes, you see them sloppy with the final ball? Is it something like, so it's sort of a mentality thing where, like, you know, is not working now, they're so sloppy. Of the things that you saw in that match, like even not from Casemiro, from some of the players, like it's just simple passes that they just couldn't do. Like, they just look like they're off it.
I think, in my opinion, right, what players fall back on at the end of the day, in modern football, is a structure. That's what you fall back on. Like, you know, like, he's going to be to my left, he's going to be to my right, I have, like, options to pass, and I know what to do, I know what to fall back on in case, like, she hits the fan. Our players don't have that. We don't have, like, a passing build-up structure. Like, Manu doesn't have a suitable partner next to him. He doesn't have options for him. He doesn't. Like, there's, like, our players don't know what to do out there. So then, when she hits the fan, we can see the... A Messi goal like Casemiro is kind of like, oh, what do we do now? Like what?
Yeah, I feel
then
like
we just then we just like revert back. Like, okay, first, Rashford, run L1 triangle over the top, 24/7.
Yeah, I feel like if we get the first goal, we look like better as a team. But when we concede, we just like gone.
I think Liverpool made a little change.
Trent sort of came inverted as well, and then we sort of just fell off it. similar to, I remember last season, was it at home against Brighton when the centre backs, after that, he started off good on
Yeah, then De Zerbi countered it and we didn't know what to do.
He told them to go wider than them.
Really wide, yeah.
It was like we were dead.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to do.
There's this crazy. There's this stat, I can't remember exactly, but it's when how many games that under Ten Hag that we've come back from conceding, and it's like two or something, like that's super low. Good,
especially for Man United.
It's literally like if we concede first, like we don't win.
Yeah,
it's literally like two or three.
When we concede, we look worse. Like you'd think a team concedes and then they look better. Like usually,
yeah, try to respond,
when someone
yeah.
concedes, they go up the pitch and they can't get the
ball. It's like I said, like
it just comes
players
out.
But the players go out and they don't really have a cohesive idea as to what they're doing in build-up and out of possession. When you have your most experienced CDM, like a winner, fucking pinging balls to them man twice and then score conceding twice, your head's going to go because you're like...
I feel like they do, but I think the build-up is so hard to execute. It's just...
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, he asks way too much. He has way too much. Like, a good manager is supposed to enhance strengths and minimize weaknesses. He's doing the opposite. He's doing.
That's why you look at the Dutch league and, like, the Dutch league, you could take these risks. You know, like, even in the Champions League, as well, in Champions League, you get, like, there's a difference between a cup manager and a league manager. Like, I don't know, in the Dutch league, they used to be open as well. And in the Champions League, it's a cup competition, so you get away with these type of risks. But when it comes to the Premier League, you get punished. And it's not even against Liverpool that or City that Ten Hag has been punished. It's the games like there was that one
Brighton.
There's so many like Brighton, Brentford.
The technical and tactical quality of the Premier League has increased twofold in the last 2 years. Honestly, it's increased twofold in the last 2 years. So is his pressure, is how he sets up our team even good enough to go up against Brighton? No. Fulham?
I feel like
barely.
Brentford? If City and Arsenal are doing a similar sort of thing, obviously with tweaks as well. They've got so much better technical players than us, but even our players, they're not technically crap. Like they're decent, they're good players. Just we adopt like the
you could also manage. Have the same you can have the same structure though, but just be well drilled in it than
too much like, risk.
Yeah. It's just a more elite coaching. Like Arteta and Pep are just way more elite. Like they can probably make things a lot more digestible to players, like drill it better.
I thought that would be changed with Van Nistelrooy because I had like an inkling that maybe we've turned the corner. But...
Bro, it's like end of the day, the assistant gaffer can only do so much in it. Like the gaffer is the one who picks everything, does everything, picks everything. What we're gonna do? It's like there was a time I think in the first half where Dalot inverted, did a nice little turn, played it right to Garnacho. He never did that again after that. He just did it once. If you guys remember in the first half, nice little half turn, got the ball up in the midfield, inverted, played it right out wide.
Shout out Diogo Dalot, man. I just got to say, like...
That's my driller, you know.
What a guy, bro. He's just so solid, so consistent every time. Like him and De Ligt are the only players, and Mazraoui, can leave with their head held high.
Hey, listen, there's a...
Everyone else...
There's one winger that created two chances.
Yeah. It's calm performance. Nothing. I'm not gonna sit up here and say he was insane. But
no, he wasn't insane. But what I've been seeing online from the usual suspects.
I mean, you know what that's gonna
like,
be
bro. Like he created like that's one positive though. Xerxes' box movement is better than I thought. That's one like tiny little positive.
Yeah, he wasn't lying though. He's a 9.5.
He's a 9.5. He ain't no 9. Because that header he should have scored, and that second one, he almost went out for flipping throwing, bro. I don't know how he missed it by that much, but like, it's signs, isn't it? It's signs that you know he's got good box movement, and Rashford's like you know putting two good crosses, and we should have scored from both really and truly.
Yeah,
that's literally the only. And Ahmad coming on did all right, and
Ahmad's good.
I feel like Xerxes not ready for the Premier League. He's probably up there, like fitness wise, but he just doesn't know how quick it is.
I mean, there's so many times
in that game where he's playing, and it's like he's not aware that he's playing in actual football match. It's like he's so casual in the ball.
Yeah,
don't get out of
he tried that nutmeg like 15 minutes in. I don't know if you remember that. It's just like, this isn't Serie A, bro. That's Virgil van Dijk. That's Konate. That's
even in link up.
That's international teammate, bro.
Yeah,
even
bro.
When
like,
he had the ball, he's like delaying. Yeah, so super.
Because he's trying to run the nonchalant gimmick in the Premier League, bro.
He doesn't work, man.
Can't be doing. You got to be like 5-6 years in Premier League vet to start running that. Like, yeah. You got to kind of like, it's got to be quick. 1-2 touch.
This is the Premier League. You don't get that much. You don't get like that much time,
especially against Liverpool. Especially
it's a really tough challenge for him first start.
Obviously, yeah, you can say
But it's just like some of the times where he actually did have time, still the touches weren't coming off, the passes were behind. Like it was just a poor performance. It doesn't really have
the
to
only
be
positives to come out this game was my Trent clean sheet on fantasy. Sorry, boys.
This guy put a Liverpool player in his FPL. Woke nonsense.
Listen, I got 78 points this game. I'm taking
and
it.
What did your club do?
Listen, I've got not a single United player in my team for the last two seasons, and for good reason.
That's crazy.
I've still got Rashford and Bruno. And
never in my life am I putting them two in my team again. They return one game week, and you do nothing for the next like 6, 7, 8, 9 game weeks. Bro, I can't be bothered for it. And all I'm thinking is the next 2 weeks international break. It's just gonna get worse. The noise about the club is gonna get worse,
bro.
And boys, we gotta talk about his press conferences. Like what? Like
bro, he always has one thing that he goes back to every time. Trophies. And this year now it's gonna be we've won the most trophies, other than Man City. But it's not an excuse. You can't bring up trophies when we're talking about performances. Like you've done great in the cups. You've won us two trophies. You deserve praise for that. The team deserves praise for that. That's totally fine. But when we're talking about league performances and performances over time and the same trends happening in games and the buildup and the structure, you can't bring up trophies when we're talking about that. That's just not how it works. That's not like that's not a justification for it.
I feel like his character is like solves. It's like he knows that he's struggling and he's finding it difficult, so he's trying to justify it to himself first and then the media.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I don't watch his press conferences.
He just gives me like, it's just bad vibes.
He's protecting himself rather than the players. That's what he's doing. He's protecting himself. He said, we made a lot of individual errors today and this and that. It's true, we made a lot of individual errors. Everyone knows that, but you protect your players. And when a journalist is literally asking you, you're making these same tactical mistakes and what's going on with the coaching? I won two trophies, eh? You know, eh? Like, bro, what are you talking about, bro? Like, he's literally asking you about the game. And Arne Slot went on Sky Sports News and said, this is how United play. This is how to play against them. And we won 3-0 because of it. Do you not think any of the managers is going to be like, this is the blueprint? It was easy for Liverpool. It could have been 6 or 7. They put their foot off the pedal. Shabba's like was playing flipping FIFA when he did a fake shot instead of actually shooting and like running a nonchalant gimmick in front of the goal. And Salah, I'm sure, should have scored as well. Another one. It's just like,
I do think. I don't know what you guys think, but I do think this is the worst day for Ten Hag as a manager at United. I think more than the 7-0.
Than
anything. Because you have this new structure. It's a clean slate. You have more players. You have all of this at home, at Old Trafford. And it still looks like it could have easily been his third game, not Arne Slot's third game.
Like, basically, he's out of excuses. Like,
yeah, there's nothing. Like, there's nothing left.
You can't blame injuries. You can't blame, structure above him. You can't blame time. Just now, he's like, now he'll probably, if it goes like this, you'll see a lot of people turning on him because last season we had sort of injury.
I think he's gonna go.
Don't say excuse. There was a justification to last season because we had a lot, but. Now it's like gone past
there's
that
really
point.
Nothing.
We don't have that many injuries.
Well, I generally think he's going to go full scorched earth and full Jose and just protect himself, protect his rep. Say, I got these trophies. It's not my fault these players keep on making these mistakes. So when he gets sacked, he can look at his record and be like, look, I won two trophies here at United. you know, they've been notoriously bad for the last like 15 years. Like, look, at least I won something there. So another club will get him afterwards. He's going full scorch. He's looking after himself and his own best interests. That's literally what he's doing.
We are 3 games into the season, so if there's like a quick turnaround, adapt, become more secure in possession, build up with a 2-3 and like see something.
Do you guys remember that first half against Copenhagen last season in the Champions League?
When they built,
yeah, we were hooping before we Rashford up the red card.
Never went back to it. Never went back to it. Completely gave
was,
it up.
What was that like? Was it 2-3 or 2? What was we did it something was, different?
It was
2-4.
Yeah,
2-4. It was a 2-4 in build up. We were hooping the first half. You know, Onana messed up like always, and Rashford got a red card and whatever. You would think any other manager would be like, okay, good in the first half. Let's try and, you know, build up upon it. Like, because we played really well. We did. Never went back to it.
I don't know.
Like, Rashford was playing on the right. Right?
Yeah. Because he got the red card defending on the right back position. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone, like, build up, but you can't go long. Like, today, we should have gone long.
You can't go long towards Xerxes because you have Van Dijk on his back, and Xerxes is like 6'4" for no reason, as we saw by the header. With Rashford, we did try to go like play him in behind 3-4 times, but the ball was overhit. Or every time he was hit perfectly, Alisson came out, you know. And with Garnacho, it seemed like we just ignored Garnacho, I can't lie. It just seemed like
he didn't get the ball like
one rear time. View, like literally just like right hand side empty. I can't see this way, bro. Like my rear view mirror is broken. I can only see it that way. Like, it was just like completely ignoring him until Ahmad came on. Then Ahmad took charge and played well for his little cameo. But I don't know where we go from here. I'm pessimistic.
Yeah, Rasmus. Hopefully, Rasmus and Luke Shaw back after. I'm not even going to. Actually, there's no way Luke Shaw comes back. I'll be honest. Because they put that whole thing out for Rasmus. He's back on the pitch, but not. Haven't seen Luke Shaw.
Apparently, he'll be back after the international break.
But I'm not counting on it. I think Rasmus will be back for sure, which will help a lot. But. I mean, yeah, it's just this terrible, terrible feeling to be in this position. 3 games in with like no hope really for like long term. Obviously, I think we all think that we could probably win a trophy still, like win the Europa League or win a cup of some sort. But like, I think we need much more than that. We need to see actual football, consistent football competence on the pitch. Especially in these big games. Like, it was weird because usually in these big games, he does have a good plan and we do play well and we do get something out of it. But even in this, it was like one of the worst. People were just running around. Like, there was just no rhyme or reason to anything that was happening on the pitch, especially out of possession. It was just running. And yeah, it's just a really, really hopeless, hopeless feeling. Especially when you see, you know, other teams around the league look pretty good.
Next fixtures like after Southampton, they're like easy.
Yeah, was it Palace away, Spurs?
Oh, Palace away.
Palace haven't looked good.
Yeah, but like we can't go into any game being like, oh, it's Palace that's away, it's Southampton away. Like
Southampton, I think, because Southampton try to do exactly the same thing we do.
Would you be surprised if I told you?
No
mistake, 2-0. Like it's like nothing is a guarantee. Nothing. This is life in Manchester United.
Enjoy the international break.
What happened before that lovely football, lads? What happened before that lovely football? It's
just not now we got 2 weeks to just sink in this result for the toxicity on Twitter and everything to fester.
Boys, you know how bad it is? Like, my Liverpool mate says to me all the time, he goes, when we beat United, I don't even care. Like, it's just like any other team. Liverpool fans don't care about us.
In 2 years,
OT,
too, has lost all of its... There's no way anyone's scared coming into OT anymore.
Why would
I don't get how it gets to that point.
It's free entry. There's no bouncer. It's free entry, bruv.
And it's a shame because the fans are still amazing. Like the crowd is still insane. But like the actual fear factor of walking in there, I don't think any team
is scared. There's no bouncer. The drinks are free. The girls are over there. Just go chat to them. You can do whatever you want. The drugs are over there. It's literally like an open club, bruv. Anyone can go into it and do whatever they want. OT is the most, like remember Gary Neville saying last season, the Old Trafford is still one of those grounds, you know, you can't go there and think you can get a result. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Like, unless you can, you can whoop us there. It's easy now, bruv. It's easy now. If you got a solid game plan, just come in. If you literally just don't play the occasion, just play the game, you will smack us. You will smack us. Potter did it. Zerbi did it. Slots did it in his third game. Pep's done it countless times.
Do you lot want to help me out for five things we learned?
Football has left
me. I got nothing. I truly have nothing.
That's mine.
I'll have to think of something.
Maybe you could do... You should do the thing where it's like... Five things we learned, and then the thread, and then the next one is like, thanks for watching or something.
That would go viral. Literally, just do that. Just do that, because we learned nothing. No positives from this game besides Diallo and De Ligt. That is it.
And Dalot.
And Dalot. Dalot, listen, yeah, Dalot, if you want to go Barcelona, go, bro.
Bro, go find. Please, do what's best for you, bro.
Go find Son, all right? You've done well. You recovered United career. You've done bits, bro. You're unreal.
You deserve better, bro. You deserve better.
If Rashford doesn't go well for him now, he should cut. He's 27 next month.
You're saying he should leave?
I feel like, I don't know, he's going to be 27.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. I would want, if it continues like this, I would want him to, not because I want him sold, but because I just want him to, like,
he
can't waste his entire career here. I don't know if he'll ever, and it pains me to say this, be the player that we thought he might be, but I still think he can be really good somewhere with a good environment. So,
bro,
it's just too toxic for him.
It's just too, just go somewhere else and try and have, like, redeem something of your.
It's because like he's the main face now. Like he's
the scapegoat for everything. Yeah.
Older player.
I think the fact that he's a local lad, he feels it much more. So he sees the criticism a lot more. People probably say stuff to him in real life because he's local. He probably hears too much, guys, ear to the ground too much. So he probably picks up on everything, as you've seen on Twitter. And I think that just like when you're the scapegoat, even today, let's be honest, like he didn't like he should like there was times where he was 1-on-1 versus man. He checked back all the time. It was like, bruv, his confidence, his shot is gone. But he's still putting two very good crosses, which we should have scored from. He was literally the only attacker to complete a dribble, which is insane to me because I don't remember it. I just don't feel like sometimes home is not where the heart is. Sometimes you just gotta just go someplace else, go get away from the media, get away from everywhere, and just disappear for a while, bro. Like, go to Spain, go to Italy. Like, there's been plenty of top clubs which should take advantage of him and how he plays well. Give him overlapping fullback. Give him proper attacking dimensions, unlike what Ten Hag has done, because he's literally just kept him and Bruno. He literally has with how he sets up this team. Like, I feel sorry for him because he's not a touchline winger, but at the end of the day, you're gonna get killed even if it's not your fault, like he did today. So what's the point of being here? Generally, just leave, bro. Just go. For your own good, for your own happiness, bro, just go. Just leave, bro, Marcus. Do your own thing.
This is what it's come to, man. It's so sad. It's literally so sad.
Third game weekend.
Literally third game. It is only the third game. I don't want to go too crazy, but it does feel like kind of a... it's the biggest game. It's the biggest game of the year. Liverpool at home is the biggest game of the year. There's no way around it. Liverpool at home. Wait, what did I say?
No, I said wait till Liverpool away.
I can't even think about that. But... The Ten Hag and the players failed miserably in the biggest game of the year. So it's not good. It's really not good.
Predictions for Southampton.
Go on, boys. Predictions. Basically, predictions right now. Predictions for Southampton.
I think we win 2-1. Some sort of responsible.
Have you seen Southampton this season? Every goal is conceded. They try to play at the back.
And yeah. Imagine. Who did they play last? Who did they play yesterday? Yeah, that was terrible, bro.
Watch when they play against us.
Yeah, Prime there's going to be a slice into
they're
us.
They're going to play out.
I genuinely think in my heart of hearts, 2-2. I think he's going to draw 2-2.
Because, you know, I feel like the team makes little tweaks and just killers like Jao Pedro and Welbeck last week dropping deep
Yeah,
killers
dropping in, yeah.
this week, Trent inverting and Liverpool's midfield going into
we're
different
just we're the easiest team to play against. Did you see the pass map? Or not the pass map,
the graphic.
Rashford's just there.
With literally no one around it.
Yeah. God, bro, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Fun.
Football, yeah. It's more to life than football, man. Go outside, spend time with your family.
You have grass. Food to eat, you have a shower, bro. Just enjoy life, man. Football's not the be all and end all.
It's not. It's not. All right. Did we get it all off our chest?
Yeah, I feel good. It's a good therapy session. I've entered enough.
All right. All right. Well, if you made it this far, Hassan's got one more.
I just don't want to watch the game again.
Jeez, honestly, my God, bro, I analyze it. I'm telling you,
you should low key do that. The thanks for watching thing.
I'm telling you now, players are gonna get injured on international break. It's gonna be even worse. I was thinking
about that too. To be honest, like De Ligt, Hammy.
Martinez,
Mod's going to again. Ivory Coast. I don't know what type of pitches he's gonna be playing on. Oh God! All right, if you made it this far, we appreciate you. Make sure to—I always forget to say this in the intro—but like, subscribe, just helps us continue to make good content for you guys. And let us know in the comments what you thought of the game, how you would fix it. Would you sack Ten Hag now? Who would your replacement be? Those sort of stuff. We appreciate you. Appreciate all the support as always. And catch you on the next one. Peace.